Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you.
Have you ever had the feeling almost like something is going unsaid in your relationship?
Like you're having the conversation, but not the full conversation.
And you can't point to anything specific. It just feels off.
And then you start thinking to yourself, am I overthinking this? Why does this feel weird? Why does this feel unsettled?
But at the same time, it's not like you feel like you're being lied to or anything.
Right. You just don't feel like you're getting the whole truth.
And what's tricky is that this happens a lot in really well-intentioned relationships.
Yes. And there's actually a pattern underneath it that most couples do not have a language for.
And once you see it, it explains a lot.
And in the work we do, there's actually a name for it. Dun, dun, dun. Caretaking.
So today, we're going to break that down.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I am Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're going to be talking about, we kind of named it in our intro, and that is a concept called caretaking. And why we decided to do this is that we recently had a couple where we used that term with them, and they sort of had like a negative reaction to it. And I think there's a lot of things that sometimes when we name them, because it's sort of in the pop culture zeitgeist, it like people kind of wrangle to it. They don't like it. And so we thought that this is like such an important thing. It happens so often that we go a little bit deeper into it.
And I just feel like it's really important to define how we utilize it and how we help couples through it, because we've seen so much healing once couples have that language and identification of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, kind of to start off with, like, what does this feel like, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's something that's just like off between the two of you. Like there's a problem, there's a dynamic that you just like can't get up and over.
Yeah.
It's like something is being unsaid. There's oftentimes like this feeling like you're looking at your partner and you're like, what else is going on? Like I feel like some, like you're acting in a way where it feels like something's going on, but we haven't named it at all.
To me, it's like a sense of, I don't want to necessarily say walking on eggshells, but just like it doesn't feel clear. I know that I start to feel anxious, and I do question myself, like, why am I just crazy? Like, I know there's got to be something here. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think that that's a big part of this dynamic, is that, like, one person, it's interesting because I think a lot of times we frame it between you and I, like, because I'm more avoidant, that, like, I might not bring something up. And that,
I'm
and
more
that,
anxious.
And that you're the one who's in that place of what's going on. But I think it's like, you know, it's like the same thing for me too. Like there was a moment this morning where I just like walked in and I saw this like look on your face, and I didn't know like what was going on, right? And I think that that's like the initial symptom, is just like, why can't we get up and over this thing? Is there something going like unsaid right now?
And I just want to say something too, because it's not intentional. Like what we're talking about is pretty much a subconscious, unconscious system that happens. So it's nobody's fault, right? And it's for a variety of reasons that we develop this system, whether it's to avoid conflict or protect somebody. But it's like someone is withholding the truth and they might not even know they're withholding the truth because maybe they're more avoidant and they don't even know how to like, what is their truth? What is their feeling? So just letting you guys know, it's not like this deliberate, intentional caretaking idea.
Yeah. And then what happens is there's this like overall eroding of trust. And there's also like a breakdown of security.
And building of resentment.
Yes.
That's like a huge one, right? When this pattern continues over time, it builds mistrust and it builds resentment. Yeah. And it definitely breaks down emotional safety. So let's really get into it.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, let's like really name it, right?
Because this was our dynamic.
Yeah. And that is caretaking, right? Yeah. It's sort of like through withholding information, sort of managing your partner's emotional state.
Yes. Attempting to manage your partner's state to really manage your own.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost like, well, there's this thing that's going on inside, yes, of me, or this is an event that's coming up. And I just don't want to upset Tara, and it's a busy week, and I don't really want to like deal with a conflict. So I'm just gonna caretake. Yeah. I'm gonna keep her from having to deal with something. But also sometimes I'm gonna caretake myself. Right?
Well, that's what caretaking is. You're caretaking yourself, but you think you're helping the other person. Yeah.
Yeah.
So can I give an example of what like the Kleenex box? Because I feel like this is like such a good example of it.
Sure.
Right? And a lot of people will be like, what? We have a Kleenex box right next to us. And let's just say EJ starts to cry, right? Because he's having a cathartic moment. My intuitive response is just going to be like, oh my gosh, EJ, here, have a Kleenex. I'm going to give this Kleenex box to him. Now, it could be just nothing. It could just be that I see him crying and I really want to offer him a Kleenex box for support. Or it could be this unconscious caretaking of like, oh my gosh, I'm really uncomfortable emotions and he's having emotions. So I'm going to shove this or give this Kleenex box to him so he knows he can stop it right now because it's uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because the action is I'm going to somehow take care of your emotions because the sort of false perception that you have yourself is I'm taking care of this person.
Yeah.
But really what's happening is you're taking care of yourself, right? Because it could be something about like, you know, anger. That like, say Tara gets really frustrated about something going on in our household or at our work, right? And I want to be like, Henny, it's okay. Like, I'll just like deal with that. You don't have to worry about it, right? And so I'm convincing myself that I'm helping her avoid that uncomfortable emotion. I'm gonna solve this problem for her. But most often what I'm doing is I'm taking care of myself because I don't like to witness, be a part of, mm-hmm, you know, interact with a, yeah, certain emotion, whether it's sadness or anger or frustration.
Yeah. Okay, so there's two more examples because I want people to really identify with this because it can feel like all over the place a little. But let's just say, and this used to happen with us, EJ would come home from work and he would see that I would be like really overwhelmed or stressed out, right? Especially early on when the twins were young. And like maybe a schedule shift had happened with my stepboys, with his ex-wife, right, with his boys. But he wouldn't tell me because he thought it would stress me out. But then I would get super anxious when the schedule change would happen, like the day of. And I'd be like, why didn't you tell me this? He's like, well, because things were just so overwhelming, Tara, and I didn't want to put more on your plate. And I would be so pissed. We'll talk about what happens in those dynamics for the other person. It's like, I need you to tell me these things, right? Like, because if you don't and they come up and pop up like the day of, it's going to make me feel really bad. Right. And so the idea is too, like when we do these things like that, like even though your idea was to protect me, you see me stressed out, you're trying to protect me. The message I get is like, oh, You don't think I can handle it. You don't trust that I can handle like what you have to say to me. So that's the caretaking piece. Like whether EJ was doing it intentionally to support me or to avoid uncomfortable feelings, the underlying message is like, you don't trust that I can handle it. And that's what creates this underlying caretaking / codependency in relationships. And it does not build trust that we can handle our stuff, right?
I think that's huge, right? That because that's the byproduct is it's really reinforcing a lack of trust in the relationship. That like in all of those moments that where there would be some like change in the schedule or whatever, like I was basically saying like, I don't think we can handle this. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. It's going to end up in an argument. You're going to end up stressed out. Mm. I'm going to get, you know, overwhelmed by your stress. Yeah. And so we can't handle it. And then it also, what it does is it keeps you from actually practicing going through hard moments. And that's
and building regulation.
That's a big piece that we talk to couples about is actually when you have conflict, when you go through difficult moments together, those are opportunities to practice to get better at it.
Yes. And I just want to say a huge source of this is nervous system regulation. Like we avoid and caretake because we truly feel like, what if they can't handle it? What if I can't handle it? And once you really get into a place of window of tolerance and regulation, it's really helpful. But I have another really good one because it's about sex.
Oh, let's go.
Okay. And I'm sure if you're listening to this, watching this, you either you yourself have been here or you know somebody, right? It's like, let's just say, I'm just going to use like male-female dynamic, right? Heterosexual couple. EJ comes home from work. Right. He's been working at all day. I come home and he comes home and I've like been with the kids or just picked up the kids from school. And, you know, I'm cooking dinner and I'm cleaning and I'm just like doing my daily things. And I'm like in my overwhelmed state as usual. Hello. Thank you. And EJ, like, let's just say he's feeling frisky. Right. Even if like we couldn't like actually go like have a makeout session right then. But let's just say he's feeling frisky or he thinks I look really good. He comes to the door. He sees me kind of scattered. And so in his mind, he's like, I'm not even going to like let her know I'm feeling frisky or how good she looks because that's just going to, she's going to think I'm trying to pressure her. And so then EJ withholds his intimate feelings, right? And then I'm thinking maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, like, gosh, we don't have any connection. Like he doesn't kiss me anymore. He doesn't tell me I look cute. He doesn't touch my booty. Even if my sex drive is down, doesn't matter. We don't have those playful, flirty moments. Why? Usually it's because the other person is caretaking and doesn't want to feel bothersome or feels like nothing will happen anyway, so why even go there? And then that builds so much resentment and tension around intimacy, physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, sex, you name it. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys have listened to a lot of our intimacy series, but like be transparent. Even if the other person is like, oh my gosh, sorry, honey, not right now. Or you know what? I just can't hear that right now. Like don't withhold your own feelings of friskiness or playfulness or flirtatiousness just because you think the other person is overwhelmed. Like that means you're sacrificing your needs for the sake of the other. And I don't think your partner wants you to do that, but we just learn how to do it because of the environment.
If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you.
By avoiding the difficult conversation, which you think is going to preserve your connection,
absolutely,
it ends up making you feel more disconnected. Because what we know actually in long-term relationship, what brings people closer together and forges it into like a solid, solid relationship is dealing with conflict in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And if you don't approach it, if you don't have those difficult conversations, you can never get better at them, right?
Yeah.
You just slowly sort of fade farther and farther apart, because there's really what it is there's a lack of emotional honesty.
Yeah.
And that's key to emotional safety.
And again, why it happens, I just don't want to ruffle the feathers, don't want to create more stress. I can see that this person's already overwhelmed. Oh, they have already so many things going on with their job and they're super stressed out. I don't want to do that to them, right? So why it happens is because of that. They're overwhelmed already. The impact is confusion, disconnection, lack of transparency, lack of actually emotion regulation, right? Because now you're not dealing with things, so you don't have to go through this uncomfortable experience of being transparent. So you just stay, your nervous system literally stays stuck, like frozen, like autopilot. This is why so many couples come in autopilot. Yeah.
And that's where we know the way we work with people, the relationship renovation model, it is built around creating emotional safety so you can have these difficult conversations, so you're not afraid, so you trust that your partner can handle it.
I've got to say something really quick. Do you mind if I interrupt you? So
I'm used to it.
So in 2016, when EJ and I started, we actually had all these questionnaires and our model, how it was then, separate. So each partner would fill it out and then we'd review it. And it took me a couple years to really get this caretaking dynamic, but that actually reinforced the caretaking dynamic, having them do it separately. So that's when I created everything that they have to answer together. And there will be some couples, there's no way I could answer this question in front of them. And I totally respect that, but we know we want to get them to the point where they could answer it together, especially our weekly check-in. People hide it from each other when they're doing it in our lobby.
Well, and what we do is we actually are there with the couple and we help you get through it. And I know we do a lot of actual coaching your way through this of okay, you can't have this conversation outside of here. You guys don't trust that you can handle it in a way that's going to be productive. Well, man, let's do it now.
Yeah.
Let's do it now. We have the ability to be okay, wait a minute. Let's stop. Let's try that again. Maybe say this a little bit differently. And what couples experience is they start seeing my gosh, in small and then eventually big ways, we can handle this. We have emotional safety. And then it starts to bleed over into, man, we're just more connected.
Yes.
We feel more loving.
We can handle it.
Intimacy starts to increase.
Building trust that we can talk about difficult things. But that's kind of more of our part too. But I do want to just say you used to keep all these things from me because you didn't want to overwhelm me more, stress me out more. And now that we have transparency in our relationship, I would love to hear just what your experience is, because you've gone through it, because your experience before is oh my God, this is going to stress her out. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to withhold it. And then it comes out 3 years later. Trust us.
Well, I mean, my experience of being more transparent is I feel lighter and I think I'm less stressed and I think I'm less resentful, because when you're caretaking all the time, it feels like, even though you think you're avoiding conflict, but it feels like you're just carrying everything.
You're managing it all
on your own. And I definitely also sense a lot less just like resentment coming from you, because I think you trust that I'm more open. I'm going to say things. I might take a second longer, you know, but I'm going to get there.
And what have you noticed about my response? Because the idea is, if I say this, this person will get more stressed out. What has been your real-time experience when you tell me something difficult and you're more transparent now?
Well, two things. One is that you surprise me, and like you're able.
This is on tape,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah. You are cool about things, or you know, and things that I think are going to really stress you out.
Yeah.
Don't. The other thing is that when they do, you also are much more practiced at it because I give you this opportunity.
Absolutely.
And if you do get stressed out, you let me know, you correct, you ask for a second. Like, we have different, you know, we have our tools. We have the tools that we teach people that then we use because we're in it. We got practice.
We can handle it.
We got it.
So this is why we want you to stay tuned to part two. Really, the first piece of this was just really understanding what it is. And I know if you have questions, please reach out to us.
100%. And so, stay tuned next week. We're going to go into tools for both sides, for both the caretaker and the caretakee, of like, what are some action steps? What are some things you can do to begin to break out of this dynamic?
Another thing too, I was going to say, this popped up. So like before, when we were like dealing with like a lot of our intimacy stuff and that higher, lower desire discrepancy, I would literally like not want you to see if I was wearing like cute little underwear. I'd be like, oh my gosh, if I show him this, he's going to automatically think I'm going to feel frisky tonight. And so I don't want to like let him down. And so I'm going to like either quickly change or go into the bathroom, versus right now, like I just plop on the bed in my underwear, like it is what it is.
Just last night.
But it's like, it is like, I just want to, it's freedom, you guys. Like, I know it feels really scary in the beginning, and it's definitely taking emotional risks. Like, you had to take all of those emotional risks to now build your new reality that I can handle it. And I had to take my emotional risks of doing what I do, knowing that you can handle it and that we can talk about it. So it's awesome.
Amen.
I would say that this underlying pattern exists more than we know. And it's because, like, you know, we learn it from early on to like avoid discomfort and to like caretake others too, and
if
to people
hot,
please.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, please, if you would, give us a review.
Yay.
Rate the podcast, tell somebody about it. That's how we get out there. If you haven't checked out our Patreon community, there's a link down below.
Yeah.
Definitely something to check out. We're putting out tips of the day almost every day, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
We got a few really cool offerings. We got a retreat coming up if you're interested.
Sedona.
Yeah. Send us an email, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. October retreat in Sedona.
And of course, our Relationship Innovation at Home Manual, available on Amazon. I think you actually have to type it in exactly, Relationship Renovation at Home Manual.
Yeah.
But hey, it is what it is.
All right.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other, but not in a caretaking way. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down, or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough, and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me are we.
Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. Coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.